We're turning tonight, if you have your Bibles, to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, we want to begin reading at verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father, we're thankful now for the privilege that you've given us of having in our possession the Word of God. We know that so often we take for granted this book, a book that men have died for. We forget the great possibility, the great potential that is here for us to understand thy truth and believe it and see our lives transformed by the power of it. We're asking you tonight to give us the grace and the wisdom to understand thy word, to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the living bread sent down from heaven. And we pray all these things in his precious name. Amen. We read a portion tonight of the Old Testament account of what's commonly called among the Jews the Passover. And as we've seen in past studies together when we have been considering the Lord's Supper, the Passover obviously is not the Lord's Supper. They're two entirely different things. But we find in the Old Testament shadows of that which is in the New. We find in the Passover of Israel something of that which is represented when we eat the bread and drink the cup, as we find provided as a memorial feast for the New Testament church. In these verses that we've read, in this Exodus 12 account of the Passover, we find 9 mentions of leaven. We see that unleavened bread was to be eaten in connection with the Passover. We see that they were to search their houses to get rid of any leaven that might accidentally be there. This is something the Jews still do today when they keep the Passover. And this is true because leaven, in the Bible, generally speaking, is a symbol of evil, a picture of sin. The bread was to be unleavened in connection with this feast because the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So they were eating this bread without leaven. Leaven being a symbol of sin, as representative of the sinless Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, I'm sure, how he spoke metaphorically to his people. He said, except you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. And he was saying that it's absolutely necessary for us to come to know him personally as the bread of life, to assimilate his being into our being in order that we might be born again. But I want you to notice just briefly tonight that there are 9 kinds of leaven mentioned here in the Word of God. And I think each one of them is instructive if we consider them. The first mention of leaven, the first kind that we might mention, is literal leaven. It's important that we remember that. These people were not trying to get some kind of symbolism out of their house. It was the actual yeast that they perhaps used in connection with the baking of bread. But this yeast was something that was applied to the bread to make it rise by a corrupting process. The leaven would enter into the dough, and over a period of time it would permeate that dough until the whole was leavened. And so we have quite clearly set before us here in Exodus chapter 12 the literal leavened bread. But you'll notice also here that they were not simply to get the leaven out of the bread. They were to get the leaven out of the house. It was to go beyond removing this symbol of evil from that which they were going to eat. But they were to remove it from the house in which they live. The house, as we've seen so many times, is a symbol of the human body in most instances in the Bible. The Apostle Paul spoke of the house of this tabernacle being destroyed. How if it is we have an house not made with hands in the heavens? We have a spiritual body, in other words, provided for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know him as our Savior. So they were to get this leaven out of the bread and out of the house. They were to do that literally. But they were to do it literally because leaven, as I say, has more connotations. And we'll see the first of these if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13. The 13th chapter of Matthew. And reading one verse, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now this is an unusual circumstance. Here we have a one verse parable by the Lord Jesus. That's all there is to it. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. To make a long story short, if we study the context of this, if we were to go into what the 13th chapter of Matthew is teaching overall, we see that the kingdom of heaven has to do with the professing church, the sphere of Christendom, as we might call it today. And we're seeing the Lord Jesus likening this professing Christianity, if we applied it to our day, unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You know something about the 13th chapter of Matthew, you know there's no question about the fact that these words are prophetic. This whole chapter is prophetic. There's a direct parallel between these parables and the 7 churches of Revelation. And in these, the Lord is setting forth the characteristics of the various church ages that will be encountered down through the course of church history. So here in this parable, the Lord is speaking of a time in the professing church when the professing church will see a situation comparable to a woman taking three measures of meal, hiding the leaven in it, until that leaven permeates the whole, and the whole is leaven. I believe that the leaven spoken of here is the leaven of apostasy. There can be no doubt about the fact that this is the tenor of the teaching of the New Testament generally, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're moving into a time when the Son of Man coming would question if he would even find faith, the faith, upon the earth, because of the great apostasy that would set into the professing church in the last days. It did begin, just like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meat. The meal, as we saw when we studied Bible symbolism, is just another form of the Word of God. It's that which is made into the bread. And so this is a corrupting process that takes place through the Word of God, a corruption that brings about apostasy in the professing church of the last days. All right, we've seen the literal leaven in Exodus chapter 12. We see the leaven of apostasy spoken of here in Matthew 13. Now let's look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, reading at verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So there we have a clear explanation of the symbolism that the Lord Jesus was using. He was speaking again of leaven, which is a picture of evil generally. But he's more specific here. He calls to our attention the leaven of the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, we learn what that is. The Lord specifies that the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. And this is something that we must be aware of, particularly aware of, as those who profess to believe the Word of God. We need to be conscious of the great necessity to be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. We need to be careful not to call the Lord Jesus Lord, Lord, and not do the things that he said. Because that was the problem with the Pharisees. They recognized Jehovah God, who sat upon the throne of heaven. They were Bible believers and Bible memorizers and everything else that you might want to name. But the great leaven that crept into Judaism and permeated the lives of those Pharisees was that of hypocrisy. And that's some of the leaven that needs to be out of our house when we come to remember the Lord and the Lord's Supper. But you'll see that he mentions also here the leaven of the Sadducees. And then he tells us in the 12th verse that he's talking about their doctrine. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. The leaven of the Sadducees was unbelief. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the spiritual. They were naturalists. They believed in what they could see and feel and understand and nothing more. And there again, that is a type of leaven that not only permeates the Sadducees, it gives the Lord's people a problem. We're so oriented to this world, to the things that we can see and touch and taste, that we forget that we're serving a God of miracles. A God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our tendency is to limit our faith to that which we can reason out even as the Lord's people. But that's a kind of leaven that needs to be done away, especially as we come to the Lord's Supper. Because here we're talking about something that can be apprehended in terms of a little piece of bread, a little glass of grape juice, or it can be spiritually discerned as being very meaningful as a symbol of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how that affects us, how much we appreciate it, depends to a very great degree on our willingness to get out of the house that we live in, the leaven of unbelief. All right, now look, if you will, at Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Mark. We've talked about literal leaven and about the leaven of apostasy and the leaven of hypocrisy and the leaven of unbelief. But here we see what I call the leaven of deceit. Notice Mark chapter 8 and verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." Now here he says something a little different. Not the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees this time, but he brings in a new kind of leaven, the leaven of Herod. The only real indication that we have about Herod's leaven was the nickname the Lord Jesus gave him. He said, "Go tell that fox what I'm about to do." He's apparently a very sly, deceitful individual. And the leaven of Herod, the leaven of deceit, is something that we must get out of our lives whenever we come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's Supper. It's so easy to deceive ourselves because we can deceive other people. To think that because other people might not know what we are and what we're doing, that somehow God doesn't know that. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so there's no need in thinking that we can come to the Lord in a deceitful fashion, without honesty, without sincerity before the Lord, in the matter of our sin, in the matter of confessing it before him. We see another type of leaven if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Reading the 6th verse. "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Now, that's a statement repeated for us over in the book of Galatians. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The same idea that we saw in connection with the lady who put the leaven into the 3 measures of meal and the whole was leavened. Because we're talking here about things that spread in the life. We're talking about that which begins in a very small fashion. And when it's finished, it turns out to permeate the whole. That's true of apostasy. It's true of hypocrisy. It's true of unbelief. It's true of deceit. But then he says in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. I don't think there's any question about the fact that the old leaven is a works mentality. The law-keeping attitude of the Pharisees. The idea that we see manifested in lost people is work salvation. But he says here, purge out therefore the old leaven. That sin of thinking that we can do something and be something before God. That you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. And that is the whole purpose of why we come together. Because Christ is our Passover. We don't have a feast of the Jews. We don't go through the form and the ceremony of the law-keeping of the Old Testament Scripture. Because Christ, our Passover, is the one sacrifice for sins forever. Because he shed his blood, because his blood has been applied to our hearts, the angel of the wrath of God will pass over us forever. We know that we have eternal life because we've trusted in him. So he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Get rid of that old idea that man can be something and do something before God. That you may be a new lump as you're unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. But then he mentions one last kind of leaven, there in verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast, and he's probably here talking about the Lord's Supper, or at least the feast connected with it. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he brings to our attention here the leaven of malice and wickedness. First literal leaven, then the leaven of apostasy, then the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, and the leaven of the Sadducees, which is unbelief, the leaven of Herod, which is deceit, the old leaven of law-keeping, and here, the leaven of malice and wickedness. And so easy to forget that when we come to the Lord's Supper, it's wrong to come having in our house the leaven of malice and wickedness. Malice in our hearts toward other people, wickedness in our hearts before God. In contrast to that, he sets before us that which was set before Joshua in the Old Testament as the standard. The life that God was seeking. He speaks of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's a wonderful thing to know that that is all that the Lord requires of us. Sincerity and truth. Sincerity is not enough because there are a lot of lost people who are very sincere. But it must be sincerity based upon the truth of the Word of God. We don't have to be something we can't be. We don't have to reach some metaphysical realm of spirituality to be acceptable in the sight of God or walk with Him daily. We simply have to be going around with our house in a condition so that it's filled with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's not a whole lot to ask of us. Not when our sufficiency is of God. Not when the Lord Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Not when the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us or forsake us. Not when he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. We have his power and his wisdom and his righteousness and his life. And that brings us to the point, the touchstone of spiritual reality, of simply being able and willing to walk humbly before God in sincerity and truth. It's a message that's only complicated when we allow the leaven to remain in the house. When we're not willing to confess our sin, to confess them and forsake them that we might have mercy. Let's bow together as we have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're conscious again tonight that the precious blood of Calvary's cross is our only hope. We thank you that we need not depend on the old leaven of law-keeping. We thank you that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And Father, we know that even though we're unworthy in and of ourselves, that thou hast made us worthy. You brought us to this place of righteousness by giving us the free gift of eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, should there be those here tonight who have never received this gift of righteousness, who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, how we pray that you'll help them to understand in the symbolism that they're about to see, that we're going to show the Lord's death until he comes. And how we do pray that we, as thy people, will understand something about coming to the Lord's Supper tonight in sincerity and truth. Realizing that thou art indeed willing, as our gracious and loving Father, to forgive us and cleanse us and help us to meet our every need. But you ask for our sincerity. You ask that we give it in the light of thy truth. And we're trusting you to help us tonight, that it might be reality. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.